Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Suggest you shut up and show more football.
Come on, come on. Figure. We've done that thing. Can we not knock it?
I am flabbergasted. I wouldn't even let them on the bus after the match. I get a taxi back to Manchester.
Again, please don't call me arrogant because what I'm saying is true. I think I'm a special one.
When the seagulls follow the troll, it's because they sink sardines. Will be strong into the sea. Thank you.
I understand what I'm trying to get at. Yes, he was a great player. Yes, he was a wonderful leader. But he wasn't a magician.
Take him out, son. I mean that. Take him.
Well, for the last time in this series, and I'll explain more later.
Yes.
But wherever you are on the planet, and I mean that, because, Andy, we've been broadcasting with this podcast to an extraordinary range of countries and peoples.
Good.
So thank you, one and all, for joining up these past, I can't remember now, how many?
Oh, I don't know.
Quite a few. 60.
Is it 60?
It must be getting close.
Can't be 60. That'd be over a year. So over a year we've been doing this.
Like anyway, my name is Richard Keys,
and this is Andy Gray.
Yeah. It's been another terrific week, hasn't it? At the time of recording, we are very much looking forward to the final at Euro 2020.
Yeah.
The culmination of, I think, what's been a really good tournament.
Yeah, I agree.
And for those listening in the UK, of course, not right across the UK, but for a section of the UK, England, it's been a wonderful four weeks. Two incredible semi-finals for different reasons, which, again, we'll get round to and discuss in just a moment. But as ever, a bit of housekeeping. You can follow us on Insta and Twitter at Keys and Grey Pod. Keys, A-N-D, and Grey Pod. Please subscribe. Follow us on whatever platform you get your podcasts on and rate us and leave a review. Preferably a nice one.
A nice one.
Doesn't
would be
have
nice.
To be.
No, just an honest one would be good.
That helps others find us. We're really grateful to those who have supported the podcast. As I've said before, this is merely us. We're not supported by any media organization. We wanted it that way. It allows us to be a little bit more candid, I suppose, have a sort of more open one-to-one chat with you, our friends, and our guests. And as a result, we've built a big audience, I'm delighted to say, and a very loyal one. So once again, thank you all. Mm-hmm. Now, we're looking to open this podcast to commercial interest, Andrew.
Oh, right.
I say this with some hesitation because I'm sure they'll be queuing around the block. We're going to have to go through a very lengthy interview
excellent.
Process.
I'll have a look outside, see if we can see anybody.
So far, this podcast has been made possible by a team of people, professionals, giving of their time and efforts. Luis here, our technician.
Yes.
Turning up to engineer and record us on a regular basis.
Yep.
Editing and mixing, distributing, social management, all those kinds of things. So we feel now is the time to invite that interest. And there's even a team to do that. So if you're listening and you want to get involved as a sponsor and partner, then email the team, keysandgraythepodcast@gmail.com. keysandgraythepodcast@gmail.com or DM us on our social media channels. Honestly, we're really enjoying doing it. We've had some great guests on with a whole lot more to come in the future, and we really do want to keep it going. Mm. We are going to take a little break. This is, as I said, the last one. Number 40, incidentally, Luis.
Ah, there we go.
Since we started.
40.
So, which is the best part of the year.
Yeah, it's the best part
We'll be back for the start of the new full season. Stay subscribed, because as soon as we are back, our new episodes will just drop into your feed automatically.
It's only 4 weeks. Five weeks it'll be.
Yeah,
that's
it. Yeah, I mean...
Short break.
Yeah, not quite as long as we normally get, which is frustration.
No, exactly.
But on the other hand, I suppose we'll be back in business pretty quickly. Whilst we're on a short break, take the chance to go back and listen to past episodes. I just said there's 40 of them. Peter Schmeichel was our guest last week ahead of the semi-finals, and how proud a dad he must be right now.
Gutted a daddy also.
Yeah, gutted as well, particularly in the manner.
Yeah.
And I think outside the borders of England, the majority are of the same opinion. Mm. It's a pity that Denmark had to lose in those circumstances.
In that manner,
yeah. Raheem Sterling at some point in his life, might not right now, might not care right now, did a professional job, it's fair to say.
Yeah.
I concluded this week, maybe it's the wind in Manchester, because Fernandez goes over when you sneeze on him. Rashford and Martial, Pogba does it as well. I mean, Sterling, we know, is a serial offender. Mm. I it wasn't nice, Andy. I didn't enjoy it. And after all those years of Englishmen complaining about what Maradona did and saying that football's bigger and better than that, we've got exactly the same formula now with what we saw on Wednesday night.
Well, you're on about just quickly. You see, the fault for me doesn't lie with Raheem Sterling solely, because players try and manipulate referees' decisions. Of course they do, and he's not the first, they won't be the last. But where it fell down big time, Richard, is we're supposed to have the tools in place now where that wrong can be righted immediately on the night.
Yes, I agree with half of what you've said,
that to me is the big... If the VAR had done its job, the referee could have gone over and just made the thing right and said, sorry,
of course,
that's not a penalty.
But if Sterling doesn't take the dive, Andy, then VAR doesn't have to get involved. So, of course, it's Sterling's fault. Of course, he has to take the responsibility for
not
it.
Not totally.
I think,
but it's where do you stop blaming people? If a ball goes out for a goal kick and you claim for a corner and you know it went for a goal kick.
That's a natural reaction. That's what you do when you're a footballer. Our ball ref, everybody does it. We've all done it. But to actually premeditatedly...
Do you think it's premeditated?
He had one thing in his mind, to get in that box
and go.
And then go.
Well,
and all of the stills that people have sent me and say, oh, look, there's contact. He doesn't run at 45 degrees.
No, he
doesn't. You know, that's where the contact came, when he'd gone over. And it is a real... Look, I'm delighted England are there. It's a great step forward. It's a huge stride forward in terms of the game. But I wish it had been done a different way. And I do feel very, very... sorry that the Danes, who have had a dramatic tournament in every sense, have had to go out in the manner that they did. I don't like it, Andy. And what I like even less is that people are unprepared to call it out.
Yeah.
It wasn't
great. Well, they're not going to call it out.
It shouldn't have happened in those terms.
No. Listen, everyone says to me, everyone who I've spoke to since then, first of all, unanimously, anyone who I've talked to, Englishmen, many among them, and women, have all been 100% in saying, first of all, it wasn't a penalty.
It
shouldn't have been given. And then some will turn around and say, well, England were the better team. They deserved it. I said, yes, but that's not the issue. The issue is the night before, Spain were arguably better than Italy.
Mm.
But they didn't win. Italy did. And it's the issue is, did Denmark deserve better than they got? Yes, they did. They deserved a correct decision. And then if England had scored, fine. We wouldn't be having this chat or this debate.
VAR.
But they deserved the opportunity to go out properly.
VAR let football down.
Absolutely.
The official, at the very least, minimum, should have been asked to go and have another look, and he would have decided he was wrong. Now, that leads me on to question why he didn't. There are all sorts of plots and theories
as to
why that may be the case. One of them, strongly held in Europe, is that UEFA want England in the final. Now, I can't believe that's true. I don't want to believe that's true. But it might be true, and I'll tell you why, because... we don't know. We didn't hear the conversation between Bass and the referee. Now, I made this point to Arsene Wenger on beIN Sports on the night and said, Arsene, it's something that I and Andy have been asking for a long time, to listen to the conversation between Bass, Stockley Park in the UK, in England, and the referee.
Correct.
And Arsene could not have been more supportive.
Yes.
100%, he said. That's something we must have. We must have the ability to listen in.
Well, we have the ability. They just don't want to put it out.
Well, if they, the reason I phrase my request in the manner I have is, what have you got to hide?
No.
You know, there's no reason why we shouldn't listen.
Yeah.
Unless you do have something you don't want us to hear.
Yeah.
We need transparency.
Yeah,
we need to be here, that conversation, and then we're not all left wondering, as we were on Wednesday night, scratching our heads, well, why hasn't he gone? Why hasn't he gone?
That's amazing. So, yeah, you're right. We do need that. And he should have gone. It was the most ridiculous. I said to Arsene Wenger again that night, I think, I don't know if we were off air, but I remember speaking to Arsene about it, because he's obviously a big advocate of VAR and very supportive of it. But even he had to admit it failed.
It failed.
Miserably on the night. And I said to Arsene, can you offer me a reason why, in a game of such magnitude, with such importance, and extra time, when a team have given everything, and I know England had, but this team had, were almost shot by then. Why on earth would the VAR not say to the referee, you might be right, but we think you should have another look.
Mm.
Just go over, have a look at it. And if he had done that, Keezy, and then came back and said, no, I still think it's a penalty,
fine,
could have gone fight. But the fact that he didn't and was not told to go over and have a look just to make sure was, in my opinion, was the most disgraceful piece of VAR that I've seen.
Mm.
I've seen a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was poor.
Terrible.
It was really, really poor.
Just go over
it, and that's why it leads to the conspiracy theories. And I don't think UEFA want those kind of suggestions being bandied about. So you have to go one step further now. You brought it in. We didn't want it.
No.
You've foisted it upon us. So now we want it and more.
Yeah.
I just wanted to do this because, I mean, this is just so good. I'm going to play this. Probably the best advert in the world ever. I want to share it now with those who are listening, because this is the Carlsberg ad.
Yeah, it is.
When
it was brilliant.
The pub team was put together.
Yeah.
It obviously, as a podcast, you're listening to sounds, but Peter Beardsley's garage door opening.
He comes in his pipe. It is like a pub team.
It was just so
the good. White transit van comes up.
Listen to this.
Come on, Chris, we're late, man.
Wadler trying to get in the van. Jack Charlton.
Aye. Jack
Andy.
Driving.
Jack.
I know.
Terry
Butcher.
Who are we playing today?
Who are we playing
today? I'll mark the dog.
Polly.
I'll mark the dog.
Ah, it's broke.
See what Reedy turned up into, did he?
Reedy's undies.
Okay, God, he looks that young, Reedy, doesn't he?
Doesn't he?
Let's have your attention, please, lads.
Oh, Bobby.
I want you to get stuck in,
Bobby,
right from the off. Bobby, Alan, Chrissy, don't be afraid to pull the trigger. Eh? Everybody's got
Bobby
a mark, track, and
don't be afraid to pull the trigger.
Stuart, get...
Sorry, get back, man.
Pitsy on the phone.
Who on earth is ringing you at this vital time?
Sorry, it's me, mum.
I said my bit, it's now your turn. So let's stick together, let's get out and fight, let's get a hold of the ball and play good football. Go on, let's go to win. Good luck.
We see that message Gareth Southgate can deliver.
Oh, yeah.
That very same message.
He's good, didn't he? Look at the boys. Look at the other team looking at them. Who's this?
But the amazing thing is, Andy, when you look at it, I know a lot of it's edited, but my goodness, you can still ping the ball about.
Oh, aye, they could.
Goal, Reedy. Keep it simple. Goal.
Keep it. Wadler.
Hit
goal.
It.
Yeah. Oh.
Reedy's challenges.
What are you going to do? Eh? It's a shirt pull.
Well, you must... Shirt pull.
Charlton.
His face, Jack. What did I do?
Yeah.
Shirt pull.
Ah, great. Ah, there's Charlton. Have a shot.
Well done,
Bobby.
Thanks very much. You give us a good game. Well done, son. Well done. Don't phone me. I'll phone you, Jackie.
If they did,
Probably the best pump team in the world.
That must have Brian Robson there as well. That must have been so much fun for the boys.
Hilarious. They probably didn't want the day to end. And knowing that lot, that shot in the window pub is how it would have ended.
Well, for a number of days.
Yeah, it was after it.
Oh, that's changed, hasn't it? What else have you seen at these Euros that you think might seep its way into the Premier League when it returns?
I don't know. I mean, we've all talked about how we felt that. I think coming into it, a lot of people, including myself, were worried that it would turn into a pass fest, and we would see games where there's 900,000 passes, very few chances. In actual fact, it's been the opposite of that. Yes, there have been the odd team, Spain, obviously. They've grown up the way they play football, who do pass it a lot and do go back and across and back and across and back and across. But very few teams do that. I mean, even watching England play the Denmark, the amount of times Jordan Pickford put his foot through the ball and got it from back to front as quickly as he could during the game. And I do think there's been a I don't know if it's a groundswell, but there's been an ambition of the coaches to send the teams out and try and win a football match. I know that sounds daft. You always send your team out to win a football match.
No, you don't. I think there's been a trend in recent years for teams to go out not to lose a football match.
Not to lose.
And that's the big difference.
Yeah.
That's what they used to say about Reevey's Leeds,
yeah,
as opposed to Shankly's Liverpool. Yeah. Leeds didn't want to lose, yeah, and Shanks would go out to win.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
I'm hoping that whereas in the Premier League, everyone's trying to emulate what Manchester City do and play the way they do, that coaches have looked at this and thought, you know what? I quite like this.
I've loved it. I loved from day one how in match one the Italians got on the front foot,
yep,
and just went and camped. Yes. I mean, literally camped in the opposition half. Not theirs, where City and others do, and I'm thinking obviously Brighton and those have tried, yeah, to use. City at their best are majestic.
Yeah.
City, when they have to break down teams, can be laborious to watch. Mm-hmm. Do I enjoy watching Liverpool more? Yes. Leeds more? Yes. Yeah. Italy? Just, he's taking it on for me, Mancini.
Yeah,
I've used the phrase before. That I hope we've passed the high water mark of the tippy tappy years, yeah, because
I'm not sure we have.
Some Premier League football in recent years has been tedious to watch.
Well, the thing about Premier League, we've tune in and watch everyone on BeIN Sports and of a weekend, and we have sometimes have five or six in the same day. And you look at them all. We've looked at them. We've sat there and thought it's like looking at the same game every game. Pass, 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 pass.
And half time.
People will tell you, well, you know, that's how it should be. You have to pass the ball, keep the ball, tire teams out. No, this tournament has shown us that that's not the only way to play football, as we've been sort of brainwashed to think over the last 5 or 6 years. There are ways of playing football. And the components that go into this final, Casey, England, literally, could be a classic. It could be a classic. We've got two teams here who want to go and win a football match. The Italians have shown us when they needed to against Spain late in the game, they haven't lost that ability to defend. It's still very much in their DNA, but it's not the first thing they start with anymore. They start with not let's not lose the match, but how can we win the match? And that's what Mancini's done for them, without a doubt. England will play like that. And I think that we've got a real opportunity here to see a classic final.
Just as you always say when questioning characters such as Fergie, who am I to pose this question? Yeah. I preface what I'm about to say with the same question. But I don't think England will play like that. I don't think Italy will let them play like that.
No.
Italy will be. England won't have confronted anything like they're about to in this tournament.
No,
Italy will go.
Well, they'll try
in your face. Now, can you play? Can you really play John Stones and Harry Maguire or? Are you putting another one in there, Kyle Walker and wingbacks as well? I don't know. But they will get right in their faces and we'll find out. And for me, there's been slightly, more than slightly, there's been worrying signs of a return to character for Jordan Pickford. I mean, the goal.
Yeah, I get you.
Panic up in the last 20 minutes of the previous game.
I agree with
swinging
that.
Swinging at all sorts of things.
See, the first time we'll learn then about Gareth Southgate's ability to believe in his team, not believe in his team, but to how he's worried about Italy, will be the team he picks. There's absolutely no doubt that against a German team, that probably the strongest team he's played, he set up to go man for man with them almost. Changed his style for the only time in the tournament and went with three at the back, two wing backs, and dropped a creative player out and had a front three. Won the game. Okay, not a problem. Job done. Now, if he picks his team in the weekend and it's the same, it's a back four and two holding, I think he will do that. I would be amazed if he picks a back three against Italy. No need to. Absolutely no need to. because Italy won't play Mancini. We know what Mancini's going to play, 4-3-3. That's what he's played all tournament. He isn't going to change. He's going to play that system. There's absolutely no reason that I can think of where Gareth Southgate would change to a back three unless he was worried and he wanted to. Because you then have to remove a creative player and put a defender in. So that's taken away your creative side by a quarter.
Well, he hasn't.
By a quarter, because you're losing one of your four creative players. Well, and it would be somebody like Mount would miss out.
If it's Sacco, he's in there.
No, Sacco. He's a defender.
He's better defensively, isn't he?
Yeah.
Than any other option. Yeah. Yeah. So that creative, I don't think you can have got that many creative players, have they, to start with? Grealish will come on in the 60th minute.
Well, they've got a front three, haven't they? Whether it be Saka on that right-hand side, whether it be Sancho, whether it be whoever, Kane and Sterling will play. The only decision for him to make is, do I go with that fourth player, Mount, playing as a number 10? Do I put him in there, the way it's been for most of the tournament, where he can influence the game hugely at the top end of the pitch? Or do I take him out, put in Trippier or Reece James, and switch in Kyle Walker, tuck in Kyle Walker one, and then have three at the back with my two wing backs. Do I do that? That's his question.
Well,
I think if he does that, it might be a measure of them being very pragmatic.
Yeah, some will be listening to this ahead of the game. Others will be listening post the final. England have brushed away so many cobwebs in this tournament. As I showered to come here this morning, I'm thinking to myself, the ultimate ending to this tournament for England would be a penalty shootout.
That they win.
And then that's every ghost laid to rest.
But we
do wish the boys well. It's been an absolute pleasure to be part of it.
Yes.
And it's the best international tournament I've seen. Since 66 as a boy when I enjoyed it. It's been brilliant.
Yeah, funny enough,
I really have enjoyed it.
We've sat there and watched most of the games, you and I. I think maybe once we've sat there and said, this has been the worst game of the
Belgium,
tournament.
I think it was.
Was it Belgium?
Yes, ironically.
Yeah, might be Belgium. Yeah. Might have been Belgium. We're sitting there thinking, this is the worst game of the tournament. And that was only said once, I think.
They were scared. The Golden Generation didn't want to play. They didn't want to lose.
The Golden Generation had three at the back who were a combined age of 100 and something.
Yes.
And that worried Martinez. He picked a team because he didn't trust two centre-backs.
Right. Let's introduce our guest. This is a guy that I met as a young man. I was a few years younger than I am now, but he was a young man, Andy. A Cov kid, they call them. I came from a generation where my father would have wrapped my knuckles if I'd said that.
Really?
A Coventry kid.
Yes, Cov kid.
But they're Cov kids. Grew up in Coventry. He's gone on to make a real impression in the game quietly. I'm really looking forward to speaking with him because he's come from commercial manager at Coventry over, I think, a decade or more. Mm-hmm. He's been to Rangers and Watford in many of the same roles. He's now the president of an Indian Super League team. And I'm not talking cricket, I'm talking football. To whom Roberto Carlos is associated.
Oh, right.
Odisha Football Club, I believe they're
Odisha,
called.
Yes. Yeah.
And he called me this week out of the he wrote a book, The British Raj, I think it's called, isn't it?
You've got it in front of you. It's called The British Raj.
My Life in Football Behind Closed Doors. And I wanted to talk to him when we were on Talk Sport in the book club, which I know you used to enjoy.
That was my favourite part of our show.
Sadly, we left before I could get round to doing it. And he called me out of the blue this week to tell me where he is and said, any interest? I said, you bet. Love to talk to you on the podcast. So it's a sketchy introduction I've made. Mm-hmm. Let's call him and let's talk to Raj Atwal, president, Odisha Football Club, Indian Super League. Former commercial manager at Rangers as well.
I don't know that. Yeah.
So plenty to discuss.
It's quite a tricky time, 2013-15.
Yeah, very much.
Remember,
so.
we were talking a lot about Rangers back then.
This could be fun. Raj, how are you, my friend?
Richard, Andy, an absolute pleasure to see you both again, or certainly to speak to you both after, I think the last time we spoke was a few years ago when I was at Rangers. So, yeah, it's a pleasure.
Yes, when Rangers were going through a traumatic time. When Richard said we were going to talk to you today, Raj, and looking up at the things that you've done, and I'm thinking, wow, that was a really traumatic time that you were at Ibrox with things going on and Rangers in the state they were in. But well done. Well done is what I'd say.
Survival instinct, I think, had a... I mean, put some meat on the bone for us about that time, Raj, as much as you can. It must have been an extraordinary... But Andy says, but career-building period in your life.
Yeah, at Rangers, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, at Watford, I'd left Watford and Rangers had contacted me. They'd just been liquidated that particular season.
Great. And then I know the man we need.
So I wasn't part of the liquidation. I was post-liquidation. So just to be clear.
Yeah.
And I remember I took a train to Scotland and to Glasgow. And on the way, honestly, to this day, I still remember the taxi driver taking me. He actually thought I was one of the investors. So I'm sort of saying I've never been to Ibrox, and he took me past all these sort of monuments. But Ibrox, I have to be honest, when I got there, I mean, I'm a big, huge comedy fan, but I've always looked out for Rangers, and it's an imperious buildings, yeah, you know, and you look at it and it's just a look. And, you know, as soon as you walk through the doors, you think this is the place to be. But Rangers itself, I had a fantastic time. The supporters, the people there, you know, I mean, I'm going into a club that's been demoted, liquidated, and it's in the equivalent of the English League. You're talking League Two now. 46,000 season ticket holders sold out. My first game, I think, was East Stirling, and you know, you're talking 50,000 coming to every home game. I just did not realise how monumental and huge this club is. It's an institution. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Was that East Stirling away, Raj? No. The reason I ask is I think Coisty tells a great story about their chairman saying to him, "Great to see you, lads. Can you come and make the draw for us?"
Before, Ross Cody, I think it was.
Oh, Ross, that was
Ross
it.
Ross Cody, yeah.
Anyway, Raj, there'll be people scratching their heads saying who. Okay, let's reveal who. Cov Kid, yes?
Yes.
Coventry fan.
Yes. Yes.
Author. A British Raj.
Yes, a British Raj, absolutely.
And the purpose of the book really was to express your frustration at many of the barriers that had been placed in front of you inside of football or not?
To be honest, it was a bit of both, to be fair, Richard, because the book itself is, just very briefly, it's about me growing up in Coventry. I'm born and bred in England. So in Coventry, with schools-wise, everything, I had a fantastic time. And there are, you know, in life, I'm sure everybody has their own sort of challenges, and there were. But for me, football was almost a saviour, you know, and Coventry City. And so the book itself really explains the people think when you work in football, it's easy. It's, you're almost on a holiday. And it's probably the most challenging, difficult industry to work in. There are no rules in football. You can't control the industry. It controls you. And so you've almost got to be a maverick to work in the industry. It's unbelievable, Richard. And so it's me trying to explain to people that what it's like. And I have people come up to me at the end of the season, almost even now, saying, "Are you on holiday now for 4 months?" you know, you know, pre-season is the most difficult time, you know, when you are putting budgets together, when you are recruiting players, when you're negotiating with agents and your commercial partners. So right across the board, there's so much to do.
Did you though, did you find all of that more difficult because you were a man of colour?
I felt at times, yes, because there were times when I felt that I was right for a particular opportunity. I want to be very careful here because it's so easy to go down the road of I didn't get this job because of my colour or for any other reason. Let me be very clear. You know, some of the people in football that have supported me and helped me have been white. Let me be clear on that. And they've been fantastic and instrumental in my career. And so, yes, I've had challenges, but I also want to be very clear and also be balanced. There are some fantastic people out there who've helped me in my career, have mentored me. People like Julian Winter, who's now at Swansea, the chief exec, Paul Fletcher, Mike McGinnity.
Mike
McGinnity.
Wow. God bless his soul.
Mike McGinnity, you know, really orchestrated my career. He really was a huge support for me, Mike, and I'll always be indebted to him. Yeah, fantastic people. So there are some great people there, but at the same time, football is about networks. It's about who you know. And I feel at times I've perhaps been overlooked, but I'm sure others would say the same.
Is it getting better, Raj, over the years? Has it got better?
When I joined in 95, 96, commercially, there was probably myself. There was Abdul Rashid, who was at Aston Villa.
Aston Villa, yeah, I know him well, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and then I'd say I went to a commercial directors meeting a few years ago. Has it got better? We've progressed. There has been progress, and I have seen progress, but the question is always relative. Has it improved to what people's expectations are? I probably would say not to that degree, but okay. It has progressed, and I think we need to take note of that as well. Mm. That's important.
And I'll tell you something about Mike, Raj. The reason Mike would have taken you under his wing, in my view, is because A, you're a nice guy, and B, very good at what you do. And those are the two prerequisites that anybody should be judging another by.
Aren't they the only two?
Well, yes, that's what I'm saying. They should be.
Yes.
But go on, Raj, because I want to finally get the position you find yourself in now is amazing. So Coventry, Watford, Rangers, and then what?
Yeah, and then after Rangers, I'd left Rangers, and I just wanted to do something different, stay in the industry, but do something different. So I formed a consultancy, a sports consultancy, so I could work with brands overseas and just develop myself, really. That's what it was about. And so I worked with the chairman at Port Vale, and I was working with Rob Page at the time as well, as an advisor to Port Vale for 16 months. That was an interesting time at Port Vale, because going to clubs in League One and League Two is a totally different experience.
I'll bet.
Totally different, you know, to what people think in the Championship and Premiership. And then worked with Ben Robinson for just over 4 years at Burton Albion, when they just got promoted to the Championship. And again, you know, great people, great family.
Cluffy's a good lad, isn't he?
Nigel, I'll stay in touch with him today. He's fantastic. He takes no prisoners, doesn't he? He's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant guy.
It's great.
So, yeah. And then Adisha came out. They contacted me, the owners, and last year. And so we're looking for a sort of a president of the football club who could sort of run the club and give us some guidance. And they wanted to adopt an English model. And the owners are absolutely fantastic. Really good. People who are fair, people who want to do the things the right way, which is unusual in football.
Almost exclusive.
Yeah. So I just took the opportunity. I'm still in Coventry, working 4,000 miles away, trying to run a football club.
Wow.
In India, and you're still dealing with the cultural changes, time differences I can live with, and also football is new in India. I mean, the Indian Super League. I think the inception of football, the Super League, was in 2014. So it's only 7-8 years old.
Yeah, when Odisha weren't. What were they?
Delhi Dynamos.
That's it.
Originally. Originally Delhi Dynamos, and then the reason they moved is because, believe it or not, I mean, they were telling me your training ground could be 10 minutes away. It could take you an hour and a half to get there. And honestly, yeah. I mean, the players were, you know, I mean, I was speaking to one of the players and he's just saying, you think you're on time, and then an hour and a half later, you're still stuck in traffic.
I had two interesting days in Mumbai and confronted by many of the same issues. Yeah.
Have you actually been to India to see the club and everything, Raj? Have you been yet?
No, not the club. I've been to India a couple of times, so I've taken this absolutely on the trust of the owners. And in all honesty, I was looking to move abroad. I'll certainly work for a club abroad and move, but it is hard work. Because it is new to them. A lot of the clubs are either owned by wealthy investors or movie stars.
Right.
And so the structures aren't perhaps the way we've structured football clubs in England. So they're coming to terms with that. So, but Odisha's a fabulous club. I mean, gents, just to give you an idea, the state of Odisha, I mean, I say to people, India's not a country, it's a continent.
Yes.
The state of Odisha's got 46 million people. We're the only professional football club there. So you can see, you know, you can see the enormity of what's available. Even though cricket is the number one sport, football really is now coming to the fore, and it's becoming a huge sport.
Are you still looking for a manager? When I read online here, a situation vacant. Is that the case still?
Okay, we've agreed. We've agreed. We've sent the contracts over. So
to whom?
For a head coach and assistant coach. That I can't reveal.
head coach and assistant coach.
Teasers. Are they people we would know?
I think you would know. I think you would know. They're certainly from our part of the world. So, we're just waiting for them to sign the contracts. We've got some players. We're allowed 5 foreign players, we're starting to.
Do they have experience of Indian football?
Okay, good question. No.
Ah, right, that counts. That counts Reedy out then.
Yeah, we've only sold them the best bit.
Okay, question 2. Do they have?
There's a bio bubble, Jen.
Of course.
What's the hotel like? What is it like?
Yeah. Do they?
Jones, don't worry. We're not going to put you in a 2-star hotel.
Do they have experience of the Premier League?
They have they are Spanish. So I'll tell you that bit, but that's as far as I'm going. So they have experience in the Spanish league.
Excellent. Okay. All right.
Thanks, Raj. Top class.
You've had some profile. You have had profile players before, haven't you? Florin Malouda, for instance, I noticed has been playing for you.
Yeah. Roberto Carlos. They've had Zambrotta, I think, as well. So they've done well over the years. They're very careful. The Indian Super League doesn't go the way perhaps other countries have gone that are new to football, because what they need to be mindful of is not just bringing in players towards right at the end of their careers, paying their pensions, and then not developing the home players. So they've had to be mindful of that. And I've said to the owners as well that we'll bring in the right players with the right experience that can blend in with our
So the job of president then, Raj, is not you're not just sitting at the top of the pyramid and enjoing yourself. You're working, aren't you?
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me be clear. When I joined as president, I thought this is going to be great. I can be a figurehead. I'll advise them. But you're pretty much a CEO. It's right across the board. And I thought, oh no, you're getting involved in everything. Right across the board, right from your community grassroots to signing players, to negotiate with agents, it's everything. It's interesting. Definitely interesting. I've got more grey hairs now than I did 6 months ago. So I'm onto the Gresham 2000 now. So
you were in short trousers when we first met.
they were good days.
So will you ultimately move? And if you do, would you expect that those people you know fairly well might come out and spend some time with you? In other words, if you invited me and Andy, I think the answer is yes.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Yes.
Well, the answer to that question, both questions, absolutely yes. Yeah, I'll be looking to move over in September. The season is actually in Goa, so every team will be playing their games in Goa as per last season.
Right, yeah, of
course. Because of the COVID situation. Yes, yeah. And absolutely, you guys are guests of Odisha Football Club. It'd be brilliant to get yourself and Andy over.
We would be delighted.
That would be a fuss for
you'd
me.
You'd be treated like kings.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be a fuss for
just
me.
Just before you go, Raj, I'm thinking about people listening. That obviously, we all want to play the game.
Yeah.
Most of us aren't good enough. Yeah. Andy has. If you want a career in football similar to yours, what's your advice?
In terms of what I do?
In terms of how you got to where you are, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, very quickly, my story was very simple. Football is about networking. I know they say, it's whether it's right or wrong, but that's every industry, and everybody wants to work in the football industry. I got in, Richard, I may have told you this story. It's hard to get into the industry because there's only so many positions.
Mm.
I actually wrote to Brian Richardson for some advice. And he actually agreed. I didn't ask him for an opportunity at that time. I just said, I need some advice. So he agreed to see me. I went to see him and I just sat there, put my CV in front of me. It's a true story. I said, Mike, I'll make you a million. I said, just give me an opportunity. And he just looked at me and went, okay. A couple of weeks later, I'm working at Coventry City Football Club. And I did make a million.
Yeah.
I didn't see the millions, but I certainly made a million.
The only thing that surprised me about that, Raj, is that Mike didn't turn around to you and say, make 2 million and you've got a deal.
Yeah.
You have to think out of the box. Yeah. If football, let's be honest, there's only so many clubs. There's only so many positions. My advice to people is, look, try and think of a different way. Try and network. Try and connect with people. And somewhere, hopefully, you'll be lucky. But stay determined. Keep that belief. It's so, so important.
Raj, it's been a treat to catch up with you once again from my point of view. To spend time with you, even better if that opportunity arises going forward. But listen, as a COV kid myself, I said this before you joined us. I don't like that phrase. But anyway, a COV kid made good, president of Odisha Football Club in the Indian Super League. Honestly, you've done brilliantly, Raj. Fair play to you.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's been a pleasure today.
Thanks, Raj. It's been a delight. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
Nice fella, Andy. Nice fella, Raj. Yeah. It was great. I was walking in the shopping mall when he called us. It's Raj. Do you remember me? Yes, of course I do. I mean, you can't forget someone like that. You can sense his energy, can't you?
Yeah, very
you can
much
feel
so.
It. Very and much I think so. That was one of the things that impressed everybody at Coventry.
I was going to say, you can understand he's good at his job. You can see why he's good at his job, yeah? Absolutely, 100%.
And, very fortunate, Odisha. Very good call, Odisha.
That's a good call. Rangers loss.
And look after him.
I wonder if it was McCoist that got rid of him. I'm only joking, Raj.
So, in conclusion then, I repeat what I've said. We're looking for a little bit of support. If you've got an interest in that direction, do please get in touch at keysandgreypod@gmail.com, or you can DM us through our various different social media outlets. We're going to take a break now until the start of the new season. Already thinking about who may or may not survive, Andrew, who may or may not be amongst the prizes.
Wow. We have to start thinking about that already.
Yeah, we do, you see.
Oh, dear.
But
we've only got 5 weeks.
I know.
See you
before
back.
That. Good luck to everybody involved, and I mean everybody, both sides, and the different individuals who we have enjoyed the company of down the years. Mancini, Viali, and that Italian squad, and of course, England. Good luck to everybody involved
Absolutely.
In Euro 2020.
Yeah, I wish all luck to everyone concerned in the game, and my only hope is that we're not sitting here on Sunday night or Monday morning debating an error.
I'll tell you what, I'll be sitting Sunday morning.
Oh,
I'll be on a plane.
I'll be on a plane as
Monday
well.
Morning.
Monday morning, yeah. But well, hopefully not finishing Sunday night saying, what a stupid mistake that was. That was a dreadful error. Hopefully we're sitting there saying, what a goal to win a tournament. That would be a nice way to finish this tournament. And you're right, because it's been so good, it really does deserve a good ending, doesn't it? It does deserve a good ending. And I think we've got the potential for a really good ending.
Yeah, on balance, I suppose. UEFA were right then.
What for? To get England through?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? conspiracy theorist. You do like a good conspiracy, don't you?
have a great summer, and we shall see you back here early
mid-August.
August.
Mid-August.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.